Romans chapter number 8, verse 14. The Bible said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness in our spirit that we are the children of God. If children, and then heirs of God, and joint heirs of Christ, if so be we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Before I read this next verse, my daughter-in-law is a principal, school principal, and my grandbaby is always trying to correct my English. You know how they do. And I told my daughter-in-law, I said, you're going to have to leave me alone. I said, I'm country, and you're not going to get it out of me. I said, as a matter of fact, I said, Paul the apostle, you have to straighten him out too. I said, look at Romans 8:18. The Bible said, for I reckon. I said, you know, reckon ain't no silly word. That's a country word, amen. I reckon that the sufferings of this present world, time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Look back in verse 17. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs of Christ, if so be we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now watch this now. Good God. Come here, boy. You can do it. Hey. Now watch this. Now, I'm not going to make you act like the folks at New Life, because I make them preach the whole sermon with me. Every point, when I get done, they can tell you what I preached about, all my points and everything, because they preach it with me. But I am going to get you to tell your neighbor the title of the message. Now, I don't want you, I know you might be used to this, but I want you to say it like you want them to believe it. I'm a little authority with it, you know, and tell them like you're going to do it yourself. And so look at somebody beside you, and I want you to tell them at the count of three, I want you to look at, and I want you to tell them, I'm going to shop until I drop. All ready? One, two, three. Tell that neighbor. All right, tell another neighbor on the other side. Say, I'm going to shop until I drop. All right. We're going to pray together. Father, I want to thank you for your goodness and your grace. You're such an amazing God and a great Savior. Absolutely nobody like you. We love you. Thank you for the angel of this house, the man of God. And thank you for First Lady. I pray, God, for their family. Thank you for his wonderful father. Wherever he is right now, I beg you to touch that man of God. Touch his body. Heal him for the glory of God. I ask you, Spirit of God, to walk among us and throw your weight around. Because I realize every day I live, that Lord, you don't need me. But God, I sure need you. And just in case somebody slipped in here and not sure they're saved by the grace of God, I pray, God, they walked in lost. They walk out saved. They walked in defeated. They walk out in victory. They walk in with the mind confused. But they walk out with peace that passes all understanding. We love you tonight and adore you and thank you again, and everything you do will praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Lord, have mercy. I tell you, let me tell you something, church, tonight. One of the things, I was down at Brother Larry Brown had a pacemaker put in his heart down in Augusta. I drove down to Augusta with him in the hospital, and I prayed with him. I said, Brother Brown, he said, preach, Brother Steele. He said, you know, my doctor is a Christian. And my doctor told me that verse of in Proverbs where it says a merry heart does good like a medicine. He said, my doctor told me how, he said, what most people don't know, and every time you get happy, it puts enzymes in your blood system that literally heals your body. I said, Lord, have mercy. I said, boy, shoot the juice to me. I'll tell you something tonight. I don't always praise God because things are always right and I always feel good. But I just go ahead and praise God anyhow because God is always good. Has God been good to anybody here tonight? You ought to give God some praise right there. Let me tell you something tonight. You don't let nobody steal your joy. Don't let nobody steal your peace. Don't let nobody steal your victory. What you have tonight, I didn't come from the hand of man. It came came from the hand of God. What you got tonight, the shout you got in your heart, that's not man's shout. That's God's shout. And when you look back over your shoulder and see where God brought you from, what could have been, what should have been, what ought to have been, if it had not been for the Lord on your side, every once in a while, you ought to have a praise party all by yourself. Has God been good to anybody in here outside of me? Say amen right there.
Amen.
I'll tell you something. Tonight, I want you to see something. Now, most of you tonight, a lot of you, I don't know, but a lot of you may be living off of the inheritance that somebody gave you. Maybe had a mother to pass, a daddy to pass, a family member to pass, left you some land, left you a car, left you a house, left you whatever, but you're living off of that inheritance. And that inheritance that you're living off of, they pass it down unto you. What I want you to see tonight, just in case you think you don't have any inheritance, I want you to look back at Romans chapter 8 and notice this, verse number 17. If children, if you're a child of God, then you're heirs and the heirs of God. And join us with Christ. If so be you suffer with him, you may be also glorified together. Here's what the Bible teaches. Anything that belongs to God, the same thing belongs to you. Because you are heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So I want to find out what belongs to God and what belongs to me. Well, you're going to turn your Bible for just a minute. And then I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to shout until it drops. Watch this. Go to Psalm chapter 24. Let's find out what belongs to the Lord. In Psalm 24 verse 1, the Bible says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and the world, and they that dwell therein. I found out the world, the earth, belongs to my God. I said, well, Lord, I'm in the family. Does that belong to me? He said, boy, I made you to have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and every creeping thing upon the earth. I said, so, oh. I said, what else belongs to you? Well, look at Psalm 50, verse number 10. He said, I want to show you something else belongs to me. Psalm 50, and look at verse number 10. The 50th Psalm and verse number 10. The Bible said right here, here's what else belongs to God. The Bible said, every beast of the forest is mine. And the cattle upon a thousand hills. God said, I own all the beasts of the forest and the cattle on a thousand hills. They heard about the old gentleman would come down to the altar every week and get on his knees. And he said, dear God, give me a few cans of potted meat and some crackers. That's all I want. Well, the preacher kept hearing that every week, potted meat and crackers. So one Sunday come down, the preacher said, hold it. Hey, he said, let me tell you something. I just checked the Bible. I'm not against potted meat and crackers, but your heavenly Father owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Every once in a while, I'm asking for a T-bone. Somebody help me in the house.
Amen.
But God, listen, he owns the cattle on the thousand hills. What else do you own? Well, I want you to, it's going to be a little bit hard to get, but go to your New Testament and turn backwards to Malachi as we're going to Haggai. Zechariah, then we're looking at Haggai. Habakkuk, come on back here. I want to show you something. Look at Zechariah, and then you're going to come into Haggai. And I want you to look at chapter number. I want you to look at chapter 2, and I want to show you what else belongs to the Lord. Haggai, watch this. The book of Haggai, and I want you to see this. What else God said I own? Haggai. He said, I want you to notice something. In the book of, are you in Haggai? Okay, if you're not there, we're going to roll it. Look at verse number 8. God said, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. God said, I own the silver. I own all the gold. I own the earth. I own everything that's on it. I said, you own that silver? I own the gold? He said, boy, that's why you don't have to worry about whether you're going to make it or not. Because your heavenly Father, he owns everything. I said, well, Lord, what else? He said, over in Leviticus 23:25, all the land is mine. I said, it sounds like, God, you own everything. He said, everything is mine. So what I want you to know tonight, when I saw that I inherited what my father, anything belonged to Jesus, and the same thing belonged to me, I made up in my mind. I said, I'm going to shop until I drop. Now, normally what I have is my buggy up here. I thought maybe y'all had one of those hand trucks. I'm going to show you how to shop. But I'm going to give you three things tonight, and I'll be out your way. Number one, I tell you, when I found this out, here's the first thing I said I was going to do. I'm going to let every sinner know that nobody has to stay the way they are. I'm going to let every sinner know that nobody has to stay the way they are. I'll tell you something tonight. Are you looking at old boy? You don't know where I came from, what I've been through. But I'm going to tell you, you sitting in this house tonight, and you're saved by the grace of God. You don't look like where you came from, and you don't look like where you've been through. People may see the glory, but everybody got a story. I said, people may see the glory, but everybody got a story. Am I right about it? Now watch this. The Bible said, brother, in Romans 5:20, said, moreover, the law entered that the offenses may abound. But where sin has abound, it said, grace has much more abound. You see, I don't care how deep a sin a man goes in, God got enough grace to get you out. I want you to know, I'm thinking tonight, brother, what have I been? Brother Thurman Link, he had been to the church one time before. I was working at McGuire Nuclear Station. And one of our ladies had gotten saved by the grace of God. And we was having revival like y'all having here tonight. And Sally said, preacher, let's pray for my husband that God will save him. Eight of us got in a circle and began to pray for Thurman. Well, it was church time, no Sally, no Thurman. And they showed up late. And when they came down to the, she finally got there. And we, preacher J.P. Barber, preached the word of God. And down the aisle came Brother Thurman. When Brother Thurman then got saved by the grace of God. But everybody in the church began to shout and to praise God. And except Sally. I was wondering what was wrong. And why Sally's not praising God. God has answered our prayer. But back home, Thurman had set out a bag of marijuana and a six pack of beer. And he told him, I'm going to this church with you one more time. And when I leave, I'm coming back, getting my buzz on. I don't want you to say nothing to me. And sure enough, I boiled Thurman. I came and got born again crying. And he went home. And Sally said, when he stuck the key in the door, first thing he did was reach in the refrigerator, got that six pack of beer. And she said, oh no. Oh God. And he popped the top and started pulling him down the sink. Took that bag of marijuana and thrust it down the commode. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you, therefore, if any man be in Christ, hey, he's a new creature. And the old things have passed away. All things have become new. Does anybody know what I'm talking about in this house tonight? Say amen right there. I'm telling you right now. Some of you sitting here tonight, you got children. You got nephews. You got family members. I'm telling you right now that, listen, that's deep and deep in sin. But don't give up on nobody. I said, if you take your cart and go shopping like I do every week in my life, I'm out beating doors. I was out soul winning on Saturday and led a young white lady to Christ. Out soul winning. I tell the folks at New Life, we don't go skin winning. We go soul winning. When I knock on the door, and somebody white come to the door, I don't say, I'm looking for the black people around here. Man, I ain't looking for no black people. I'm looking for people. I'm going to hit you with the gospel gun. I don't care what. When you go fishing, are you looking for a certain kind of fish? No, when you fishing, wherever you at, you just want to hook something. That's God, when I go fishing with the gospel gun, I just want to hook something. Not the same hook that pulled me out. It's the same hook that can get them out. I said the same hook that pulled me out. It's the same hook that can get them out. You know what I'm talking about? Say amen. Right there. I'm glad that when I can stand here tonight and tell you, Lord, have mercy. When I go shopping, when I found out that I want everybody to know that you don't have to stay the way that you are. And let me say number two, I want everybody to know that you got a God that can take care of every need that you've got. There's a God that can supply every need that you got. I don't care what you're dealing with. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what your situation is. There's a God that can supply every need that you got. Watch this now. Watch this. I read a book, man of God. I said this preacher went to Detroit, Michigan, where they make the Ford cars. And this is in 2006 when he went. And he walked in and looked at those cars, and he saw warehouse after warehouse after warehouse of car parts. And he said to the gentleman that was giving him a tour, "What cars are these?" He said, "These are 2008s, 9s, and 10s. He said, "Well, where's the car?" He said, "We don't make the car. We make the parts before we make the car. So when the car showed up, everything the car needs is already there before the car ever got here. We can't wait till the car come and then try to get it together. It's already ready when it ever showed up." What I'm trying to tell you tonight, before you ever showed up, God had already got every part you need into your life before you ever got here. And so don't ever let the devil make you think that you're going to, that God can't take care of you. David said in Psalm 37:25, "I'm an old man now, but I have been young. I ain't never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging for bread." What David is saying, that he got a God that can still supply all his needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm telling you tonight, you don't have to worry about how it's going to turn out. It's already done for God you ever got here. Every need you ever had, God has already supplied. Am I right about it, church? I'll tell you, my friend, I want you to know. You see, when I was growing up, I used to read a whole lot of comic books. In those comic books, the hero always start out getting beat by the villain. And then you get down to the end of the book, and then you see where the hero gets up and beats the villain. But if you don't want to waste your time seeing how it's going to turn out, just go ahead and go down to the last chapter of that comic book and see the hero getting up, whipping the villain, and then look at the villain and say, "Look, all that stuff you're doing, if you know what you had waiting on you down here, you go ahead and give up right now." Woo! Come here, guys. What I'm trying to get you to see, I've already read the last chapter of this book, and Revelation 20, verse 10 said, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are." I've already been to the last chapter, "and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever and forever." And I can look at the devil and tell him, "I've already been to the last chapter, and you lose and we win." I said, "You lose and we win." I said, "You lose and we win." How many know you're on the winning side? Say amen right there.
Amen, brother.
Number three, I'll give you this, and I'm done. Glory to God. I'll tell you something. I want you to know, number one, I'm going to take my little buggy. I'm going to shop. Let everybody I know that I don't care what they're in, that they don't have to stay that way. You want to know why I'm so crazy? You need to blame me on the white man in Jesus. That's what happened to me. This white man named Danny Willis. I took that Bible, showed me how to be saved on my job. And I had a head-on collision. Pow! I hit Jesus head on. And when you hit Jesus head on, he'll knock the devil out of you. Am I right? Yeah! Yeah! You ain't gonna hit him head on and come out the same. And so, he said, "What? Why you act like that? You have to act like that to be saved? Boy, if you knew where I come from, you'd be acting like this too. And you'd go open your mouth up and you'd praise him too. Man, I'm just glad I'm still here. I should have been dead a long time ago. I'm glad I can listen. I'm not laid up in the, I'm not in the jail. I'm not in the prison. I'm glad I'm not laid up in a nursing home. I'm glad I'm not in the hospital. I'm glad I can brush my own teeth. I'm glad I can take my own bath. I'm glad I can drive my own car. I'm glad I can feed my own body. And I'm glad that I'm not going to hell." Anybody with me? Say amen. So number one, I'm going to take my buggy and let everybody I know, you don't have to stay the way you are. Boy, let me tell you, I ain't got time to tell you. But around New Life, there's testimony after testimony after testimony. Watch this, bro. I just got in from Texas. I went to a soul winning clinic out in Longview, Texas. And the preacher said, if you'll witness to 15 people and said, you'll wind up having, out of that 15, at least 5 saved, and one of them will show up in the house of God. Well, I was out soul winning that Saturday, coming from Longview, and I had knocked on 14 doors. And I said, Lord, hadn't had nobody saved yet. And I said, I'm going to knock on one more door. I'm going to try this 15 thing. Sure enough, a young man came to the door. And I said, yes, sir. I said, I'm preaching still for New Life Baptist Church. Just out visiting. Let people know somebody cares about it. I said, you attend church anywhere? He said, look. He said, no, right now we don't go. I said, your daddy here. He said, my mama's in here. Well, what I didn't know, that mama was hooked on crack cocaine, and daddy was on crack cocaine, and they were split up. And so I said, I didn't know the whole story till after. Well, I went in the house. She came to the door. I said, told her the same thing, who I was. I said, Mrs. Neal, I want to ask you something. I said, if you died right now, are you 100% sure you're going to go to heaven? And she said, no, sir, I can't say that. I said, if I can take the word of God and show you how to miss the fires of hell and walk on the streets of gold, would you believe God? She said, yes, sir. She said, come on in. I said, I'm between her and her son, and show both of them how to be saved by the grace of God and how to name what's written up in glory. Now, 1 John 5:13 said, at these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may K-N-O-W know you have eternal life, and you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You don't have to hope you're in, wish you're in, think you're in. I know I'm in. How many know you're in? Say amen. Amen. But that week, that was on a Tuesday. Well, yes, that was on Tuesday. That Wednesday night, she said, we don't have transportation. We picked them up in the van, brought them down to the house of God. She made it public, her and her son, that they got born again. Well, that Sunday morning, I preached the word of God. Here's a man come down to the altar. And I said, sir, can I help you? He said, look, I talked to my wife, and she told me that you came by the house and showed her how to get saved. He said, man, I want to meet this Jesus that you showed my wife. And that day, Robert Neal got born again, got saved by the grace of God. That's been almost 30-something years ago. And then he got born again. But what I'm telling you right now, I'm just glad I can look back on my shoulder. I don't know how much time I got on this planet, but I know this. I'm going to shout until I drop. I'm going to tell everybody I can how to get out of hell. I'm going to tell everybody I can. You don't have to stay the way you are. You might be jacked up from the floor up, but God knows how to take a mess and make a miracle. Because my Jesus don't drive a trash truck. My Jesus drives a recycle truck. Do I have a witness? In the house.
Amen.
Number two, I've learned that my God, I'm going to let everybody I know that God can still take care of the needs of his people. And number three, and I close with this, I'm looking for the real church. I'm trying to find the real church. See, the church is not the building. The church is the people of God that's in the building. I'm trying to find the real church. Everywhere I go, I let them know our God can still send revival. Our God can still send revival. But here's what I want you to know. It's not going to take one of us. It's going to take all of us. Not one of us, but all of us. Revelation 5, verse 10, John said, I saw every kindred, every tongue, every nation from all over the world, 100 million around the throne of God, praising God. Why? Because Jesus didn't die for somebody. Jesus died for everybody. I said Jesus didn't die for somebody. He died for everybody. It's not about black power and white power and red power and yellow power. It's about God's power. Am I right about it, church?
Amen.
What's going to take? It's going to take all of us coming together. I don't care how many revivals they say they're gonna have. You're just not gonna reach one set of people and think you're gonna have revival. You're gonna have to lay that down and start reaching everybody with the gospel story. What if Danny had to walk past me because the color of my skin and said, I ain't gonna have nothing to do with him? I wouldn't be up here acting crazy like I am right now. And look at all the thousands of people that were saved by the grace of God. Listen, I cannot even begin. Only heaven knows. Since I've been saved these 39 years, all the souls that's been saved by the grace of God, only heaven knows. Because one man last year alone at New Life Baptist Church, over 1,000 people were saved by the grace of God. Already this year so far, and I give God the glory, over 600 something people have already been saved so far this year. I'm telling you why. I'm talking about every kindred. I'm talking about Spanish. I'm talking about whites. I'm talking about black. I'm talking about people coming from other countries, from the islands. Why? Because I just still believe that the Bible said in Romans 10:13, whosoever I shall call on the name of the Lord, that they shall be saved. I still believe in Romans 10:12, there's no difference from the Jew or the Greek or the black or the white or the red or the yellow. Same Lord that saves a white man and the same Lord that saves a black man and a red man and a yellow man. His blood runs red. It doesn't run a different colors. I'm glad. Bless God, it's the same blood. It's the same Jesus. It's the same Holy Ghost. Same heaven. Same hell. Thank God. Somebody talk to me. My brother, we might have all came over here on different boats. We leave out, we're going out in the same ship. Hey, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, the three races. Mrs. Noah's three boys. Ham, where your black race come from. Japheth, where your white race come from. Shem, where your oriental race come from. They didn't take different ships when the flood came. They went to the same door, got on the same boat, and sail with the same God. That's what I like about it. God didn't tell them, y'all, go in. He said, y'all, come in. Because God was already on the inside. Whoa! Somebody help me. And what I'm telling you tonight, if we want to see revival in our nation, our homes, our families, it ain't going to be to a Democrat. Ain't going to be to a Republican. Because all they can do is fix up the outside. Only Jesus can fix up the inside. I said all they can do is fix up the outside. Only Jesus can fix up the inside. Because people's problems are not what they have on the outside. People's problem is not having Jesus on the inside. Am I right about it? We're seeing people now. And I'll tell you this and I'm closing. So I know some of y'all, I can tell, you went home and ate. And you're about half shot. That's why you can't get in the glory. I know. I've been around long enough. That piece of chicken and steak and gravy, biscuits is laying right on top of you. And I'm up here acting crazy. I said, preacher, would you go ahead and shut her down so we can go to bed? I'm going to let you out here in a minute. But let me tell you something. Don't let me remind you. I've been pastoring Baptist Church now for almost 36 years, so I know us. Amen. Yes. But listen. Whoa! Come here. I'll tell you something. What I want you to understand and realize tonight, my friend, if we're going to have a true revival, it's not going to take one of us. It's going to take all of us coming together. It's one people. Listen, when it's time for us to go to heaven, we're going to the same heaven. Did you know? Can I tell you something right here? We fighting. One of our ladies, see if I can find her. Well, this will help me right here. The texture on the human body is about the size of a napkin out of a napkin box. The only reason that we're different colors is because of where it's archaeologically where they went. Ham, the black, progenitor of the black race, went to Ethiopia, Africa. And God changed the texture of his hair and the color of his skin to protect him from sun rays. Shem went over there. The Middle East is burning up in the day and freezing at night. And Japheth, the white race, went to Europe and it's cool all the time. And God didn't make no big difference about the boat they were in. They were just one big family. And God wanted the message of Christ spread all over the world. And so don't let the devil get up in your head and start fighting you over Democrats and Republicans and independents and all this stuff. You've been around long enough to know if that was going to change somebody, we'd have had revival years ago. But we're going to have to lay that stuff to the side and realize it's not about us anymore. It's about Jesus. We don't know how much time we got on this planet. We're worrying about this, worrying about this, about CNN and Fox News or whatever. The devil is alive. We better pick up the good news and the fact that Jesus still saved. He's satisfied. He can take a mess and make a miracle. God is ready to do something in the church of the living God. He just needs somebody that'll trust him again, that'll believe him again, that'll trust him. Anybody with me? Say amen. We're living in a world now where you got people as billionaires taking guns, blowing their brains out, jumping off of bridges, killing their whole families up, while we sitting around fighting over which one's on this side and the other. Well, we need to be busy praying about the Father's business, asking God to do something. I told our folks at New Life, I'll tell you this now, I'll wrap it up. I was in Princeton, West Virginia preaching this past week. Dr. John Smith, I got that from him. He said it about 14 times. I'm going to say this. I'm going to wrap it up. So we preached together up in Princeton, West Virginia. And I told but I'll tell you this. And I'm going to wrap it up, okay? This is it right here. I want you to know, my cousin, I had to fly up to Queens, New York to preach his funeral. All those trains in New York City, my cousin ran those trains, brother. He was he managed all those trains for 25 years with all the train system. Well, him and his wife was off and on, in and out. They decided they're gonna get back together and they're gonna work it out. But my cousin found out she had a boyfriend and had an apartment together. She went in his account and took $50,000 out. And then told him, I got two cousins, one 25, one was 24, is 24. And she told him that the boy is not even yours anyway. And he went and found out where she was and took his gun and shot and killed her when she came out the door 6 o'clock in the morning. It was on CNN. And then he shot her boyfriend and killed him as he chased him around the parking lot. Then he went out in the woods and blowed his brains out. But before he did it, he wrote a letter and told Hal that he was sorry, what he's going to have to do. But he got pushed in a dark place and didn't know how to get out. Well, I said all to say this. You wonder what's going on with people around us every time you turn the news on. Billions of dollars, millions of dollars, killing their families, killing themselves, because people are hurting on the inside. The enemy is playing games with their minds. And the only hope they've got is somebody like you and like me, lay down our weapons of fighting each other and come together under the blood-stained banner and lift Jesus up high. Did we ever lift him before? And he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I don't know what you're going to do. Do whatever you want to do. But this little last few days God's going to give me, don't know how much time, I'm going to take my little buggy and I'm going shopping. I'm going to shop until it drops. I'm going to tell everybody I can, you don't have to stay the way you are. I'm going to let all of God's people know that your needs have already been supplied. And I'm going to find me a real church of the people of God who really truly want to see God do something. And we're going to see God send revival. I'm telling you right now, at New Life, you walk in there. One of our families told me, I was talking to them this morning. Brother, they get one of our, he's a white family, husband and wife, kids. And they told me this morning, well, what they do, they take all our kids, go to college. They fix some college bags, and they was picking up the bags. But the husband told me, he said, Brother Steele, preacher, you know why come I join this church? I said, talk to me. He said, because. He said, I've been to a lot of churches in my life. And he said, I've never been to a place like this. He said, by the time I got in the car, out of the car to I sit in my seat, he said, I felt like the people in this church have been knowing me all my life. He said, they was hugging me in the parking lot. They was hugging me when I come in the door and said, my family. I said, I've never been a place with this kind of love. And he said, this is why I want to be a part of this place. I'm telling you right now, this preacher right here, I'm just one of these that believe that Jesus died for everybody. not just somebody. Let's bow our heads.